Well, as you travel down the roads here in Colorado, you're going to encounter some road signs. As you travel anywhere around on roads, you're going to find road signs. And some of those signs are going to tell you how fast you can drive or how fast you can't drive. Some signs are going to tell you which direction to go. Some signs are going to be permissive and say you can drive this direction or you can make this turn or enter here. Other signs are going to be prohibitive. They're going to say, do not enter here. No U-turn. A lot of signs are helpful. Some signs are not that helpful. I have a few examples here I want to bring up on the screen. Signs that I found. These are not from the state of Colorado that I'm aware of. However, the sign up here on the left, I'm not quite sure how that works for the drivers, how they're going to... Yeah. The sign down in the bottom left, I'm glad they made me aware that that sign is not in use. And then the top right, I have to tell you, we lived in Mexico City for about 7 years. And just about 5 miles away from our home, there was an intersection that had seven lanes, I'm not kidding, seven lanes of traffic that would come into this intersection. There was no stop sign, there was no stop light, there was no flashing light, no yield, nothing. You just had to come in and jockey your way through. In the 7 years we were there, I never once saw an accident at that intersection. People just kind of made their way through and on their way. So anyway, just some interesting signs that may or may not be helpful to you. It's interesting in the passage that we're going to look at today, we're going to find that road signs are nothing new. Road signs were a thing in previous years as well. Signs telling us what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. In fact, we're going to find in our passage today about some restrictive signs. Signs that divided people, signs that segregated people, signs that segregated gender. Some of these signs were visible signs. They'd be literally on the side of the temple. Do not enter here. Some of them were invisible as well, but nonetheless, they were divisive. Signs that were understood. No Gentiles. Jews only. No women. Only men. Other signs, only the high priest may pass beyond this point. May have been an invisible sign, but it was well understood. You see, this passage is going to tell us about some road signs, but specifically road signs for the Gentiles. Signs that read, do not enter. You are not welcome. Do not come in. Stay out. Just to quote a famous movie line from the 1975 cult classic Monty Python, none shall pass. Has anyone seen that movie? I regret to say I have. But our passage is going to tell us that even though these signs were present and apparent, because of the atoning work, and atoning means compensating, because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, those signs have changed. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. The signs that once said, do not enter, now say enter. The signs that said, keep out, actually now say welcome. So I hope you have your Bible with you this morning. Open up to Ephesians chapter 2. And again, in your bulletin, there is an outline if you'd like to follow along there as well. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11 down through verse 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So there were some signs in the first century. And the first sign that we find, especially for the Gentiles, that Gentile, if you're unfamiliar with that idea, that word, Gentile simply means non-Jew. And for the Gentiles, there was literally a sign that said, "Do not enter." Do not enter. There was no love lost between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul in this passage starts out by saying, remember, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship, foreigners to the covenants, without hope, without God. It was a very real sign. You are not welcome here. Do not enter. The Jews and Gentiles were at odds. They didn't associate. The Jews knew that they were God's chosen people. They were the holy nation. They were beloved by God. And actually, the word Gentile, it was even a barbaric term to the Jews. In fact, a good Jew would say this prayer, "God, thank you. Thank you for not making me be born a Gentile. Thank you for not having me be born a slave. Thank you for not having me be born a woman." That was a common Jewish prayer. In fact, in our passage, you'll find them called the uncircumcised by those who say they're the circumcision. Now, that's actually a rewording in this passage. It's not too polite of a word, friends, if you catch my drift. It's very derogatory. It's very demeaning. It's contemptuous. They're saying, the Jews were saying, we're so thankful we're not like those people. And Paul is saying to those people, remember, look, there was a time when you weren't welcome. There was a time when you were held at arm's length. You could not enter the temple of God. It was especially true after the Babylonian captivity. You're not welcome. The divisions ran so deep that to the Jews it was even considered unlawful to help a pregnant woman in her time of most need. The idea was, why help her? We're just helping another Gentile come into this world. And so it was even unlawful at the time. There was no place more evident, however, of this division between the Jews and the Gentiles than in the temple of God. In fact, at the temple, there were barriers that separated the Gentiles from the Jews. There were signs in three different languages that said, "Keep out. No foreigners may enter here. If you come beyond this point, it's on you what happens to you, the ensuing death that's coming." The sign literally read, "You keep out of here, you're not welcome." And Paul says, remember those of you who aren't Jews. Those of you who are Gentiles, you were foreigners, you were excluded, you were without hope, you were without God. So the sign said, keep out, not welcome. The proselytes, and proselytes again is a term that we use to simply mean converts. But the converts never fully received the full rights of a Jewish person. They were always seen as second class. It's kind of interesting as we read through this passage, because again, as Paul is writing the book of Ephesians, where is he writing it from? He's writing it from a Roman prison, correct? He's in prison. Do you remember why he was arrested or why he's in jail? Well, the first time, or perhaps one of the first times he was arrested, was clear back when he was delivering an offering from Ephesus to Jerusalem. And it was a love offering. And he brought along with him a Gentile believer. We can read about this account in Acts chapter 21. Turn with me, if you will. Acts chapter 21, verses 27 on down. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Men of Israel, help us! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he's brought Greeks into the temple area and defiled this holy place. They have previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with Paul, and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple area." Verse 30, "The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar." So Paul is seized and arrested because they assumed that was a false accusation. But just the thought of bringing someone into the temple area was a big no-no. It's interesting that as he's writing to the Ephesians, he says, "Understand, you were foreigners. You were excluded. You were not welcome. I want you to notice the language of verse 11 and 12. The language is clear. Do not enter. Notice this. Remember, you were once separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship. You were foreigners to the covenants of promise. You were without hope. You were without God. You were excluded. So the language here that Paul uses is pretty clear. It was a very real sign to those who were not Jewish. Again, the sign read, do not enter. You're not welcome. But thankfully, friends, for the Jews and thankfully for us, the signs have changed. As we get down through this passage, we get down to verse 13 and 14, we find out how the signs have changed. I want you to notice these verses. And again, I've told you this before, but anytime you see the phrase, but now, you might underline that. It's a transitional moment. The last few weeks, we looked at a few verses where it talked about, but God. So notice this one, but now, in Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who's made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. So here's what this passage tells us. The sign that once read, keep out, it's been destroyed. In fact, maybe we should hang a sign up that says under construction or demolition going on here. Jesus came. He destroyed that barrier, that dividing wall between Jew and Gentile at the temple. He changed the signs from don't enter, you're not welcome. And here we read in this passage, He's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. So He's destroyed the barrier between those two groups so that all could come in. He's changed the sign. Jesus came in and not only broke down the barriers, the walls, but He changed the road signs. And it's interesting in this passage, He doesn't say it once. He doesn't say it twice, but four different times, four separate words He uses for the destruction that takes place. When Jesus abolishes the law and the commands, when He breaks down that wall, it's broken. He's destroyed it. He's broken it. The wall that separated the Jews from the Gentiles, He's devoured it. He's abolished it. He killed it. He put to death its hostility. For those of you born prior to 1987, perhaps you're familiar with this quote from June 12, 1987. President Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Come here to this gate. Open this gate. Tear down this wall. The language is, it couldn't be any clearer. When Christ came, that wall that divided literally the Gentiles from the Jews, it's torn down. The separation between God's people and foreigners, it's been removed so that all people can approach Him. So here in this passage, we find four verbs describing God's action. It's been broken. It's been devoured. It's been abolished. It's been killed. It is no more. Isn't it great to know that both Jews and Gentiles have access to God? I mean, God breaks down those barriers, but I want to tell you, it goes beyond that. Christ breaks down all barriers. Barriers of prejudice. He devours differences. He reconciles believers to Him. In fact, in an attempt to perhaps be politically correct, albeit for a very brief moment this morning, Christianity is the only religion that's truly an equal opportunity of faith. Does that make sense? It's the only religion that's truly an equal opportunity of faith. All people can come to the cross. It doesn't matter where you come from. The cross levels the playing field. Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, it doesn't matter who you are, your background, where you came from. The ground, friends, at the foot of the cross is equal. All people are welcomed because Christ has changed the signs. Our world has a slightly different attitude about this, does it not? You're different than me, and so I resent that about you. You don't look like me, you don't talk like me, you don't eat like me, you don't behave like me, you don't sound like me. You're different. And because of that, I don't like you. Or because of that, I don't want anything to do with you. But friends, that should not be, because Christ destroys those barriers. In Christ, the two become one. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Christ abolishes. He changes the signs. I challenge you, as you go down through this passage, to just notice how many times Paul uses the word peace as opposed to hostility. He's demolished and destroyed the barrier. He's brought peace. He unites people together. And so here we understand that because of Jesus Christ, there's been a demolition of the wall. A demolition zone, taking down the signs that once read, "Do not enter," and now say, "All are welcome." But there's a third sign. And it's perhaps the most exciting one, I believe. The third sign really reads like this. And, you know, I don't know if it's really a road sign. I'm sure you're familiar with it if you've ever eaten at a sit-down restaurant. Come. Come in. It's open. And I want you to notice the language of the text. He came and preached peace to you who were far away. That's the Gentiles. And peace to those who were near. That's the Jews. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So the signs that once read, "Stay out, keep out," have now been changed to say, "Come near. Come in. You are welcome." Notice these words from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 16, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Friends, we can approach the throne directly because the barriers have been torn down. Christ has abolished, He has destroyed. So the message is, the gospel message is, all the obstacles that keep us apart, they've been removed. Isn't that nice? All the obstacles have been removed. God desires all people of all races, all backgrounds, all ethnicities, all social statuses, all economic statuses, both genders. God welcomes them all. No one has gone too far. No one is beyond His power. No sin that Christ can't cover. All are welcome. There's no certain race, no certain background, no prerequisites. It's not based on social status or your IQ or how successful you are in life. All are welcome because Christ has demolished those walls. All people are welcome. We need to remember, friends, that we will never lock eyes with someone. We will never lock eyes with someone who does not matter to God. Does that make sense? Anyone that we lock eyes with matters to God. No matter how irritating those people are to us, no matter how annoying they may be, no matter how much we may think about them and the different things that they do, they still matter to God. We will never lock eyes with someone. Four times in five verses, Paul talks about unity, about oneness. Notice as we go down through this passage, the two, they've been made one, creating one man out of the two, reconciling in one body, both of them to Himself, granting access to both through Christ. All categories of people, whether you're Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, all are welcome to come to Christ. Now, this is a really interesting passage. I don't read Greek. I wish that I could, and I would read this to you in Greek, but you probably then would not understand. But either way, looking down through the Greek language, the original text, there's kind of a wordplay that takes place here on the word house. And if you're unfamiliar with it, the Greek word for house is oikos. Perhaps a way that you can remember it, if your house is in a bit of disarray, it's kind of like a pigsty, you know, anyway, oikos. That drew a few more chuckles last service, okay? But either way, there's this wordplay using this word for house, oikos. You're no longer aliens, you're a member of God's household. You're built on a sure foundation. Themselves a godly building, built together in Christ. And He uses this Greek word over and over and over again to drive home His point that all of you, No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter your background, no matter your status, all of you are part of God's house. You're part of His household. You're no longer foreigners. You're welcome here. All who come are welcome. Friends, you need to understand that all of us together are God's temple. We're His building. In fact, we're the bride of Christ. The church is a picture. The church body is a picture of many different types of people from various and differing backgrounds, different gifts, all coming together for one common purpose: to praise and serve God. The Bible tells us we are literally His house. Together, we're His house. We are the bride of Christ. We're His church, His body, the temple, the church. Various pieces, differences, uniquenesses, different gifts. Friends, oftentimes that we see the differences that we have, do we not? We see the differences and we draw those lines. But there's one thing I've learned, and I'm sure many of you have picked up on this as well. When we can embrace differences and we can leverage those strengths, how much stronger of a church body we can be when we get everyone fit in the right spot. Yeah, we're going to be different. We're going to have different things that are important to us and differing abilities. But when we can celebrate those differences and come together in an environment like this, the body, how much stronger of a body we could be. Paul says, what used to be a small group of select people now is offered to everyone. No longer do you need to be foreigners or aliens. You don't need to be excluded. All are welcome here. We're all a family. Jesus came to break down those barriers. I want you to notice a few words before we wrap up this morning. Back in verse 11, this word Gentile. Therefore, remember, you were formerly Gentiles. Gentiles by birth, uncircumcised. Remember that you were separated from Christ, excluded. He's reminding us that we were all dead in our trespasses and sins, but God came to our rescue. And now He reminds us, in Christ we are all welcome. And then another word down in verse 19, consequently. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household. So in Christ, not only are you reconciled to God, that was verses 1 through 10. We looked at that the past few weeks, talking about how we are as man and the bad shape we're in, what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and then our corresponding response to that. That's verses 1 through 10, how we get reconciled to God. Verses 11 through 22, we can be reconciled to each other, where He can make the two one. So these signs do not enter have been demolished. New signs erected. All are welcome. So one more sign for you this morning. What does it mean to us? What does it mean for us? Simply this. Here's what it takes to be a part of God's family. You simply need to yield to Him. You need to realize that you can be reconciled not only to God but to fellow Christians. But what does it take? God wants you to come before Him and say, I want your Son, Jesus, to be my Savior and my Lord. I mentioned last week the huge difference between recognizing Jesus Christ as our Savior and accepting Him as our Lord. You see, the Lord of your life, we've got to turn the reins over to Him. And if and when we do that, He can change you. The truth of the matter is we all have backgrounds. We all have baggage. We all have past. We've got signs that need to be changed. And the great thing is that in Christ, all those labels, they can be done away with. Perhaps you're wearing a label this morning, and it's not applied. You know, I don't see it, but you know it's there. Christ can change whatever that label is. No one is too far gone. No one is too bad. No one is beyond God's grace. No one that God can't change. No label that He cannot remove and replace it with one that says, you're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. Come in. You are welcome. So what we need to do is we need to come before Him and let Him change us. allow our lives to be molded, to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. I just want to ask you, aren't you glad that the signs have changed? I mean, God welcomes all people before Him. God is in the business of changing lives. God is in the business of taking labels and changing them. That's what God does best. Taking signs and changing them. He wants to take us and mold us and shape us. But again, friends, together we are His household. Together we are His church. And as we move forward as Northeast Christian Church, friends, I just want to challenge you. I want to remind you, all should be welcome here. No matter their background. No matter their upbringing. No matter their gender. All should be welcome here. If they are seeking God, if they are truly seeking God, all should be welcome here. He looks at us together and He says, "That is my holy temple. That is my church." And again, I am just so glad that the signs have been changed. From "do not enter," "none shall pass," to "open." Come on in. You're open. Would you pray with me this morning?